Welcome to episode 80.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe that? Oh, 80 of these things?
I can't even count to 80.
It's episode 80 of Two Larrys and a Mike. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly here and...
Mike?
Huh?
What?
You know, Mike is eating crow.
Oh,
must have been something dumb that he said, and he didn't realize that it was just a figure of speech, so he is unfortunately literally eating crow. What's that? That's a feather sticking out of his mouth there. It's eating crow. That's Mike. Oh, we're off to a big start here.
Well, yes, indeed.
Podcast.
Well, I just can't believe we're up to episode 80. Appreciate that. We're going to be talking about songs with colors in the title.
I was going to say, any particular color?
No, well, pick one.
That
okay,
well, very, very nice.
We'll get to that in just a little bit. What do you say we do some birthdays?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Singer Kim Wilson of the Fabulous Thunderbirds. 73. You have a Fabulous Thunderbird, don't you?
I do have a Fabulous Thunderbird, and I also have two albums by the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Can you believe that?
That's even better.
I happen to like them a great deal.
Oh, they are good.
I thought they were terrific.
They are
really
good.
Did.
Yeah, Kim Wilson, 73. Kathy Sledge of Sister Sledge, 65.
Hit you over the head with a sister, Sledge. Singer Kenny Loggins turned 76. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of his book right now.
Well, how is it?
It's very good.
Is it real footloose?
Interesting. Well, I think it's going to be. it's very interesting, though, the early days. And he had a brother, I think, was in some of his bands in the early years.
He played the spoons, didn't he?
Well, I could play anything,
I think,
for that matter. But interesting book.
Well, what happened to his brother? Why did you mention
it? I think he enjoyed playing, but he had trouble showing up for rehearsal.
I'm glad I never had a brother. R. Kelly is 57. Singer Shirley Bassey, Goldfinger, is 87. Singer Anthony Gourdin of the Little Anthony Imperials is 83.
Joan Baez turned 83 recently. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, 80.
It's not getting any fun anymore.
It just doesn't seem possible, does it? Yeah. Dave Matthews from up in the Charlottesville area. I guess he still lives up there.
Oh, God.
He doesn't invite me to his house anymore. Wait a minute. He never did.
Oh,
so
okay.
Forget it.
Well, I thought you had interviewed him. Yeah,
no, I haven't. Okay. No. 57.
Rod Stewart, 79, saw a picture of him celebrating out on his birthday.
He was whooping it up, wasn't he?
Doesn't look too good. Pat Benatar, 71, and musician Donald Fagen turned 76. By the way,
yes.
Donald Fagen is of Steely Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And Steely Dan and Donald Fagen have been nominated for the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. Mary J. Blige turned 53. Sporty Spice, Melanie Chisholm of the Spice Girls, 50. William Lee Golden of Oak Ridge Boys, 85. Ricky Van Shelton, 72.
Oak Ridge Boys calling it quits.
Yeah.
Hey, rapper Pitbull is 43.
Singer Sade, 65. Ronnie Millsap turning 81. Jim Stafford, every time I see his name, what do I think of?
Spiders and Snakes.
That's the one. Yeah. 80.
Kid Rock, 53. And singer Paul Young, 68. And singer Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles is 65.
Ready for a little music history?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. It was January 11th, 1963. The Beatles released their second single, Please Please Me. January 12th, 1969. Led Zeppelin released their self-titled debut album on that date.
So what are we going to call it? Oh, let's call it Led Zeppelin.
Eagles, their album Hotel California went to number one on the U.S. album charts January 15th, 1977. I guess everybody asked for that album for Christmas.
I think so.
Maybe Christmas 1976. That was a great album. And Simon and Garfunkel, this is one I just saw last night. Simon and Garfunkel released the song Sounds of Silence January 17th, 1966.
Doesn't seem possible.
No.
You're
right.
By the way, I should tell everybody we're going through, as we're doing the podcast today, we're going through intensely cold weather.
Yes, yes.
We had to make our way into the studios this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just barely got here. It's so cold.
How cold is it?
The chickens are laying ice cubes. You got some news?
I got some news. Hang on, let me get to it.
The teletype is froze up. You know, that was, it was having problems. It starts and stops. Here we go. Back up again. We put a little heater on it. Fine. All right, what's the news?
All right, podcast news. Michael Bolton, diagnosed with a brain tumor. Taking a break from touring, the When a Man Loves a Woman singer said his surgery for the tumor was a success, and he is recovering. So that is great to hear.
Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour concert film officially becomes the highest grossing concert film of all time. That's a concert film.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And did you know she has officially become the best-selling artist on vinyl in the U.S., for 2023.
On vinyl.
On vinyl.
Who would think we would ever be saying that in this, the 2024 year of our Lord? That's amazing. Random House will publish Lisa Marie Presley's memoir in October of this year in collaboration with her daughter, Riley Keough. It offers a glimpse into one of America's beloved families and bonds between mother and daughter.
You can do pre-orders now at lisamariebook.com. I'm kind of looking forward to the audio book of that because Riley is going to be reading it.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Oh, headed to Vegas? You going to Vegas anytime soon?
No.
Did it once, won't again. Chicago returns to the Venetian Theatre for a seventh consecutive year, February 21 through March 9. Horns and all, Chicago. Tickets on sale now.
By the way, any Kenny Chesney fans out there? He's got a new album out called Born. That's coming out on March 29th. I love some Kenny Chesney.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we talked about Jimmy Buffett. Of course, we lost him in 2023. Florida lawmakers have recently passed bills to honor Buffett with a highway and license plate, which is still better than what you and I are going to get.
Nothing.
Well, I think they're considering maybe a roundabout.
That's a good one, Larry. The Larry and Larry roundabout.
Yeah.
Roundabout.
Round and round and roundabout we go.
I got a few more items. You want them?
Let's do it.
Oscar Mayer is looking for the next generation of hot doggers to drive their famous Wiener Mobiles, briefly, by the way, renamed the Frank Mobile until everyone thought it was stupid.
Which it was.
And it was. Uh-huh. I mean, nobody ever says, let's go get a Frank.
Yeah.
No, you're going to go get a Weenie or you're going to get a hot dog.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. You can earn, by the way, $35,600 annually with a weekly allowance of $150 for meals, which hopefully include more than Weenies, by the way. Driving the 27-foot-long vehicle, which averages about 20,000 miles a year. That's how much you're going to be driving.
Wow.
By the way, the job comes with benefits, 18 days off with pay, and all expenses covered for hotel stays. And nice ones, not the Motel 6, by the way. Heck, it's better than any radio job I ever had. I'll just be frank with you about that.
I like that, Frank. Yeah. I like that.
And one other news item here, just off the old hoo-ha. Got that thing running again. Yeah, there we go. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band is the latest group to announce a farewell tour.
No.
Starting the latter part of March. Started in 1966, the group blended country and folk rock, and never been done before, with such classic tunes as Mr. Bojangles, Buy For Me the Rain, and Jambalaya, Crawfish Pie, Filet Gumbo. Later, the group would have an impressive 16 singles on the Billboard country charts. Did you know that?
I don't think I realized
that. They became
that.
A country group.
Yeah.
So they're kind of a little country around
here. Well, I still think Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's Mr. Bojangles, done by Fred Freelance, is still a great local song.
It's a classic.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is. Classic. All right, so
we want to talk about
songs with colors.
Songs with colors. Yes, indeed. Let's.
You know, as I came up with the idea for that, I'm thinking songs with colors. Okay, that may have some potential, and then one song led to a second song, to a third song, and then the list just imploded. Songs like, of course, Back in Black, AC/DC, Red Red Wine. I hate to admit this, never been one of my favorite songs.
Oh, you never liked that?
No. By UB40. However, one of my favorite color songs, Green Tambourine, Lemon Pipers.
Oh, that was a good one.
I always love that song.
Purple Rain, Little Red Corvette. Prince had two of them. He may have had more than one, as a matter of fact. Yellow Submarine, Babies in Black, Blackbird, Blue Jay Way, Beatles. Mm-hmm. All Beatles songs.
Yep.
About colors, and Lady in Red by Chris de Burgh.
Yep, Chris de Burgh's, what a great song it was. Green River, CCR. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. Guess that's why they call it the blues. Elton John.
Yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Uh-huh. How about Van Morrison's Brown-Eyed Girl, Donovan? Mellow Yellow.
Then there's Paint It Black and Brown Sugar by the Stones. And A Whiter Shade of Pale by Procol Harum. And Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix.
Love is Blue, Paul Mauriat. Bell Bottom Blues, Eric Clapton. That was just a great song. Blue Velvet, Bobby Vinton.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite Robin Thompson Band songs, Candy Apple Red.
Just Like the Car. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they were singing about, weren't they?
If not, you wanted to be in a car,
that's
convertible,
right. That's right.
Cruising down some road. Do they cruise anymore?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think it's illegal.
Okay.
Black Betty. Oh, Black Betty.
I love that song.
Ram Jam did the song. Forever in Blue Jeans, Neil Diamond.
What a wonderful song. Yeah.
That really was a good, well-produced record, as most of his were. And, of course, he's retired now, too. Kind of miss him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Booker T and the MG's Green Onions.
Love that. Green, Green Grass at Home, not exactly one of Tom Jones's better songs, in my opinion. But
we both share that.
That would fall in the category.
We had so many really hot records from Tom Jones, and then all of a sudden he comes out with this one, and I remember queuing up the first time and I went, "Wow, this is
not exactly What's New Pussycat here."
No, it's not.
No, Knights in White Satin from Moody Blues, Band of Gold, Freda Payne, one of my favorite ELO songs, Mr. Blue Sky.
What about Jackie Blue by the Ozark Mountain Daredevils? Mm-hmm. Is that the only hit they ever had? If you want to get to heaven,
you got to raise a little hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Those were the two.
We pulled that one back, didn't we?
Yeah, really.
There was a song called Gold by Spandau Ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And 99 Red Balloons. Oh, that one wore me out. By Nina.
Uh-huh.
Is that how you pronounce her?
Yeah.
Black Velvet by Alana Miles.
Mm-hmm. Fields of Gold from Sting, Behind Blue Eyes, The Who, one of your favorite songs, at least one of mine, I know.
Uh-huh.
Joni Mitchell, well, anything.
Big
Joni
Yellow
Mitchell
Tights,
one
yeah,
of your favorites.
Favorite.
Yeah.
Men in Black by William Smith,
mm-hmm.
Black or White by Michael Jackson, Green Eyed Lady, Sugar Love, that was a great one.
I'm sorry, you'd have to play the long version, though.
Oh, you have to play the long version.
Got to.
Yeah. And Blue Moon by the Marcells, now that one goes way back into the early 60s, I believe. I think so.
And just because of Christmas, Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Blue Christmas, White Christmas, Green Christmas, one of our favorites from Stan Freberg. You got to mention those in this list with songs that have color mentioned in their title.
Tangled Up in Blue, Bob Dylan. Yeah, there we go. True Blue, Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
White Wedding, Billy Idol. I don't know that I remember that
one. Oh, it's a great song. It is.
1, 2, 3, Red Light. 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
I guess that was from the pop era?
Well.
Or bubble gum era.
Bubble
gum era, yeah. I suppose. Baby Blue from Badfinger. Bad Bad Leroy Brown from Jim Croce. From Steely Dan. A couple of songs. Black Cow and Black Friday.
Mm-hmm. Black Cat by Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Black Water and Eyes of Silver. Two songs by Doobie Brothers.
Yep.
Black Magic Woman, which we used to call Black Magic Marker, by Santana.
Leanne Rimes does an awesome job of the song Blue.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Blue Bayou from Linda Ronstadt. Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain from Willie Nelson. One of my all-time favorite oldies, Mitch Ryder, Detroit Wheels. Devil with the blue dress on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
Dirty White Boy from Foreigner.
Don't eat yellow snow. Frank Zappa. Was that ever a big hit, or did we just play it because
it was an album cut?
Or, it wasn't. Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was very rare you'd hear Frank Zappa on a top 40 station.
That's right.
I think that was played That was one of those.
Who was that crazy guy that used to play all those crazy nutty songs? Had a syndicated show and was on Sunday.
Dr. Demento.
Dr. Demento played that song. I know he did. Crystal Blue Persuasion, mm-hmm. Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yep. Don't It Make Your Brown Eyes Blue, Crystal Gayle, Ebony and Ivory. That was Paul McCartney and wasn't it Stevie? Was it Stevie Wonder?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was.
Melissa Manchester's Midnight Blue and Fleetwood Mac's Silver Spring.
A song about a mattress.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I came up with a couple more.
Oh, did you?
A few colors we missed, okay?
All right.
You're going to go, really? Color of My World.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's not a specific color, but Color of My World.
I think that's kind of fun.
Actually, there are two, and I forgot about one, of course, Chicago from 71, and then Petula Clark did Color of My World in 67.
Huh.
There were also the Winstons, Color Him Father.
Oh, gosh, you got some good
69.
Ones here.
This one I don't remember. Color of Love, Billy Ocean.
I do. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know it wasn't as big as some
what
of his others.
What about Black is Black? I Want My Baby Back.
Yeah, that would be there. True Colors, Cyndi Lauper mm-hmm. in 86.
Oh, yeah.
And Coat of Many Colors, Dolly Parton in 71. So those are some last-minute color editions.
It's interesting to see what gets on the top 40, isn't it?
Yes.
Here's a little something about that.
It's called Top 40, but at most major market stations anymore, it's not actually 40 records. They've cut the playlist back. It's pretty tight. It's usually about 25, 26 records with some oldies sprinkled in, but it's no longer most top 40 stations are. That's the way it originally started. The top 40 stations played the top 40 records, but most stations anymore have cut it back to about 25 or 20.
Is that frustrating for you? I mean, sometimes would you like to play something that you like?
Yeah, well, I'd like to get on and play nothing but Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard. But ain't much money playing Waylon Jennings and Merle Haggard. So.
That's the incredible Larry Lujack.
Being interviewed by who? Did you recognize who that was?
No.
I don't either.
No. But Larry was exactly right there, you know.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Just because it's top 40, top 40 radio always leans toward the biggest songs, and that's why you would hear them so often.
And once in a while you get a crossover.
Yeah.
But just once in a while.
Yeah.
We do have a death, only one this time, thank heavens. They're not dropping like flies this time around. We're both going to talk about this a little bit. Actor-singer David Soul has mm-hmm. died. He was co-star of the successful TV show Starsky and Hutch, which I did actually get to watch. He also had a big hit record with Don't Give Up on His Baby.
Mm-hmm.
His real name was David Richard Solberg, and he passed away.
And I had to look this up because I'd forgotten which he played. Was it Starsky or Hutch? He was Hutch.
Well, who would know?
Kenneth Hutch Hutchison.
Well, who could argue with that?
Did you know, born in Chicago, aspired to play baseball with the Chicago White Sox?
No.
At the age of 18, he then changed course to study to be, you ready for this?
A chiropractor.
No, a diplomat.
Oh, even worse.
Following in his father's footsteps.
No kidding,
yeah.
Really? Huh.
Before
Mr.
Starsky.
Solberg.
Yeah, really.
His father, Mr. Solberg.
Prior to Starsky and Hutch, he made appearances on Star Trek, Here Comes the Brides, All in the Family. I don't remember that one. And Magnum Force.
Huh.
I remember Don't Give Up on Us, which was a great song, but I didn't realize he'd had a second single after that.
No, I didn't either.
It did not do nearly as well as Don't Give Up on Us, but made it to number one in the U.K.
What was it called? Let's
song
Give
was
Up
called
on Us.
Silver Lady was the second single.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Nope. Never heard of it. Ready for a pop quiz?
I'm afraid to, but yes, I'm ready.
Oh. Time for a pop quiz. Okay.
Okay.
And the answer is Jeopardy, the TV game show, was created by this person. Now, he's pondering, ladies and gentlemen. You can hear the gears going round and round and round in his head.
Well, I want to say something really intelligent, like, you say Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Hard Fleming. but that goes way back. No, I don't, who?
Well, the answer, I mean, is Julianne Wright. If you said Merv Griffin, who owned the show,
yeah.
You'd be half right. Actually, Merv and his then-wife, Julanne Wright Griffin, thought up the show while on a plane ride across the country. Mm-hmm. Julanne says to Merv, "Why don't you come up with a game show where you give the answers and have the contestants come up with the questions?"
Okay.
Merv got very excited and walked right off the plane. No, he didn't. They pitched it to NBC, who said they liked it, but it was too hard, too difficult. So they dumbed it down a little bit. It was made more difficult again as years went by. Julanne says she once asked Merv why her name wasn't on the credits. And he said it was because I wasn't a member of the Writers Guild. And we had our divorce settlement before the show sold to Coca-Cola for $250 million.
Wow.
$250 million. She still, by the way, creates game shows for the internet.
Huh.
Julanne Wright. She and Merv came up with a bunch of game shows.
And didn't they also come up with Wheel of Fortune?
They may have.
I believe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They may have.
But, you know, I mean, Art Fleming was good in my younger days, but nobody could top. Well, Ken Jennings is doing pretty good. Alex Trebek.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he was just perfect.
Ready for an air check?
I think so.
This is Grease Man, a WAPE.
Greasy.
Which is in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And they can speak in Belgian.
Yep.
Let me hear you say good morning in Belgian.
Good morning.
That is... that's incredible. Where do you get the gas? Is that coming from your lower intestine or what?
Yeah, and my upper one, too.
All right. Well, let me hear you say, hello, Grease Man in Belgian.
Oops. Just a second. That, you know, it got to kind of work.
I know. It doesn't taste too good the second time around, does it?
No.
All right.
And he had
some
hot
sausage
for that.
All right. I don't want you to throw up all over.
He was a wild man.
He really was.
Phil Beckman, my friend, I worked with him at WAPE, the Big Ape in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've always, I don't know why, I've never asked Phil what it was like working with a Grease Man. I'll have to do that the next time I see, if I ever see him again.
Yeah, I don't know. Cat Thomas, who used to work in Roanoke at K,
mm-hmm.
I think at some point in time, after he left K, went to Ape in Florida.
Right.
And he, too, worked there. But I don't think he was there during the Grease days, because I think by that time, Uncle Greasy had gone on to DC 101.
WWDC, AM and FM,
yep.
Washington, D.C.
In Washington.
Yeah. That's where I heard him.
Yeah.
Marty and I used to have our ad agency. We had clients all the way up the Shenandoah Valley, and we had clients all the way to Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So we would get a big kick out of the fact that when we got into Northern Virginia, of course, we could listen to WWDC on our radio. So we always listen to the Grease Man going into Martinsburg, the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. So anyway, you get all the Washington stations once you get up in there. So we get the biggest kick out of listening to the Grease Man.
And this clip didn't explain Grease Man as I remember him, but some of the skits he would do on the air,
mm-hmm.
and complete with sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he did it.
He did, you know, he would just do like these little plays.
Yeah. Yeah, they were literally skits.
That he kind of produced.
With sound effects.
But he would do them live on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. Amazing guy. I don't know, is he retired now? Is he gone? What happened?
Probably at what a DC 101 was paying him. He could be on a Caribbean island somewhere.
Yeah.
Enjoying life. I don't think he ever went into syndication, but I'm not sure.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
Yeah.
Donnie Simpson has just retired after 50 years on the radio.
Wow.
In Washington, D.C. He worked for Kiss FM,
mm-hmm.
up there. And I thought he'd retired a few years ago, but they just did a big news story on him the other day.
Yeah.
He's saying goodbye to radio for the first time in 50 years. What
a
run. And I think the guy was getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
He was getting paid a lot of money for a long time.
Yeah. Well, good for him. Is that it?
I think that's everything we got.
Are we about to put the wraps on this one?
Let's wrap it up,
man. Well, thank you for listening to episode 80 of Two Larrys and a Mic. If you like this episode, why don't you hit the subscribe button so you'll be notified of new episodes. And you can find Two Larrys and a Mic wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to share this podcast, too, with someone. Just click on the share button. We'll see you next time for Two Larrys and a Mic. I'm Larry Doughty.
Larry Bly here. And, of course, the mic is still... eating crow. Well, something he said. pretty certain of it. Awful lot of hum on that crow.